we start cutting, I would say like 5 hours roughly after they start shooting at 30 Rock. And then we start cutting and we'll go till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning on Saturday, and then cut pretty much right up until you see it on air. We export sometimes, I would say, 5 to 10 minutes before you see it live in the show.
You're still editing while the show is airing and you're seeing that, oh, the sketch before mine is up, I better hit export. And then you have immediate feedback. You can go on Twitter and scroll and be like, oh my God, millions of people just watch what I spent the whole 2 days working on.
What's up, guys? We are back with episode 12. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah.
Today we...
Pretty wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're at episode 12 already. We get to talk with Paul Del Gesso, Christy Fariso, and Ryan Spears. They are the editors behind some of the best SNL digital shorts, two of which are Emmy nominated. Bowen Straight, which is features Sydney Sweeney and I'm Just Pete, a parody of Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken. We get to hear about the insanely condensed process of filming the comedy short Friday and then turning it around 24 hours with the final delivery happening minutes before it's aired on live TV. Luke, what did you think talking with them? Is there anything that you walked away with? What'd you enjoy?
Yeah, I think hearing about their process and their pace was really incredible. I mean, the way that they can confidently turn around a cut and be okay with being up to the last minute and sending it in and just having confidence in their work that fast is pretty crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Not a lot of people realize that they shoot these digital shorts the same week that they air. You know, you would think, oh, they could write these weeks ahead of time, have them in the can and just like pump them out and stuff. But they're working specifically with the talent that comes for that week, you know, Sydney Sweeney or Ryan Gosling or whatever. And they turn it around in 24 hours. It's just absolutely insane.
Wild.
All right. Well, let's dive in. All right. We're here with Christy, Paul, and Ryan. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Hi. Thank you.
This is awesome. We got the whole crew here. Time to hang out. Big hang sesh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are some of the editing team behind the digital shorts on SNL and Emmy nominated for the I'm Just Pete and Bowen Straight skits, which are freaking hilarious. And I kind of wanted to just like start by being able to hear from each of you about your like journey of editorial into the world of post and how you like what led to your work on SNL.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I started kind of like editing a bit in high school. We had like a program for film and television. And then I went to NYU for film. And my senior year there, I got the chance to intern at SNL and have been lucky enough to kind of stick around the SNL Broadway Video family for most of my career. I was with the East End post-production house here in New York. I was there for about a year, worked as an assistant on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, then went over to Above Average, which was sort of a web-based comedy initiative by Broadway Video. We did a lot of stuff for YouTube and our own kind of like channel using a lot of like SNL talent and a lot of like up and coming comedy talent in New York. And then kind of worked my way back over to SNL as an assistant editor and then worked up to being a full film editor for the show. So that's been about, gosh, like 12 years now working with SNL Broadway Video team. So it's been great. I've loved every minute of it.
That's awesome. Christy.
Yeah, I was an RTVF major at the University of North Texas in college. And, you know, in high school, I was editing, like, I would watch the SNL digital shorts and edit together my own little videos. And that's what led me to want to study film in college. And after college, I moved to Austin and was working editing. My first job out of college was editing the Texas Roller Derby Girls TV show that aired every week. And that's where I just kind of found my love for editing. And I moved to New York in 2016 and was working at Vice as an assistant editor on their Vice News Tonight nightly news show. And from there, I started working in the control room, like finishing editing. And that's really what prepared me for the fast turnaround for SNL. And through a mutual friend, I met Ryan, and he referred me for the job, and I started working on the show as an assistant editor about 5 seasons ago now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, Paul, how about you?
I went to Ohio University for video production, and I definitely focused on more of the producing, directing, and writing side, which I would say I still do outside of editing, but, you know, doing things like 48-hour shootouts or just your own stuff, it's like you kind of just got to edit yourself, and so you have to learn to edit. And then when I moved to New York, 2014, 2015, I got a producing job at a small production company, which almost necessarily entails also editing stuff. And I remember we did a reality competition TV series, and I was editing with a bunch of the team that was over at SNL. So we kind of imported and used the workflow of SNL because it's kind of just superior. It's a great way to organize. So I got accidentally trained on the style and just the organizational management, and knew a few of the team. And they were, you know, back then, we definitely didn't have as much roster or bench as we do now with our assistants and everything. And they were like, there's an opening. Do you want to come try? It's sink or swim. And, you know, we've been swimming ever since. I was like, of course I'll do that.
That's awesome. So all three of you guys went to school for film.
I guess so. Yep. Yeah.
That's kind of wild. This isn't really the point, or it's kind of off topic, but I'm kind of curious like what your guys' thoughts and reflections are of film school now being out of it and actually in the industry.
I mean, for me, it's a little mixed, I guess. I mean, as far as like learning technical stuff, I think that a lot of that is stuff that you can learn on your own or learn through like smaller programs and stuff like that, especially if you're interested in a particular craft. But at the same time, like for me, I got to meet a lot of great filmmakers who I still know to this day and get work from and work with. And I don't know that I would have had the opportunity to intern in SNL had I not gone to film school. So I think a lot of it is kind of what you make of it. You know, that's not to knock that you can learn a lot of great things in film school, but it's a little, you know, it's different than like trying to become a lawyer or getting like a doctorate or something like that. Like there's a lot of great ways that you can learn this stuff too. And I mean, for me, like editing, I learned a lot of it on my own before school, and learned a lot of it just by kind of doing projects for people that weren't even really school projects. So yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Like I would consider myself a self-taught editor. Like I took some classes in film school, but everything I've learned was either on my own through trial and error or just because I had to. But and you go to film school to be around people who are interested in the thing that you're interested in. And I think that's what's really worth it.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't think we're necessarily in a field that values a degree. It more values the talent and hard work, and if you can work in a team. But yeah, film school or video, going for video production, I feel like it did teach me a lot overall. There's definitely things I would go back and say you should have taught more gear or something like that. But just to be in an environment, like Ryan and Chrissy said, with other filmmakers, other people that are creatives, you're forced almost to compete and work with other people that are in your field. And I mean, the only way to grow in this industry is by collaborating and talking to people and saying, wait, what do you do? How do you do that? That's really invaluable. And then the other half of this industry is networking. So like Ryan said, like I definitely have lots of classmates that are in the industry and I still interact with, and people that go through Ohio University like will email and say, I'm young and new to the industry. You know, I have a call set up this week for somebody that's just looking for guidance. And that's almost more valuable than the degree, just having the ability to reach out to somebody.
For sure. Yeah. You definitely, like, a little bit of that college tuition is just paying for that network.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Just how you look at it. Okay, well, I'd love to talk about the process of the digital shorts. I would love to hear it kind of walk through, like, the pre-production process, production, and post, like from the post perspective, like from you as the editors, what does that look like? And are there any big differences in how you approached I'm Just Pete and Bowen Strait?
Yeah, I mean, a big top-down overview of how the week goes for us typically is on Wednesday, the table read happens for all the scripts that are being considered for the show. And that's usually later in the day into the evening on Wednesday. So we start getting emails on Wednesday about production Zooms to hop on to Wednesday night. Once our units, there's three film units for the show currently. Film unit, which is the one that I work with the most. Beast unit, which is where Paul works. And there's another third unit called Ghost unit. So they'll pick scripts and assign them to the units. And then we'll hop on a production Zoom Wednesday night. Which a lot of it really is geared towards production related topics, like, you know, wardrobe, costume, set, makeup, all that kind of stuff. And then some VFX stuff. We'll chime in every once in a while, depending on, you know, what the sketch requires. But it at least gives us the opportunity to kind of see what the idea is and the vibe and everything like that. And then they shoot everything mostly on Friday. There's some give and take sometimes later in the day on Friday, or sometimes a day before on Thursday, but typically an average piece will shoot on Friday, starting Friday morning, and go till late in the afternoon, and then we start cutting, I would say, like 5 hours roughly after they start shooting, because we have PAs on set who are pulling cards from the camera crew as they're shooting, try to get them to dump reels more frequently than you might on a typical commercial shoot, to send to us at 30 Rock so we can start working. And our assistant editors get that footage first. They ingest it, synchronize it, organize it, all that. And then we start cutting, and we'll go till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. They come back at around 10, 11 on Saturday, and then cut pretty much right up until you see it on air. We export sometimes, I would say, 5 to 10 minutes before you see it live in the show. So yeah,
sometimes less.
Yeah.
Definitely sometimes less.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say most of that is the case. You know, we get our scripts late Wednesday. We hop on the production call. Thursday is generally a day for phone calls with the directors and people and saying, what's the vibe of this? What are we looking to do? What can we expect? Let's start thinking about music to pull, sound effects to pull. If we want any stock, we can get ahead of that, talking to the VFX team. And then, yeah, Friday is shoot day. Our unit sometimes, me and Christy's unit, Beast unit, sometimes different than Ryan's unit, will shoot overnight. So if Ryan is, you know, their camera starts rolling at 8 a.m. in the morning, we could start rolling at 8 p.m. and not
on a Friday night.
On a Friday night, not wrapping till 6 in the morning at, you know, the latest probably. But so then you're not cutting till midnight or so. Or sometimes you're just walking away, letting the assistants take care of it, and coming back in at 4 in the morning, and you go until the directors come in at like 11 and you just
trying to get a rough cut together.
Yeah, get your first cut. Then we workshop all Saturday. We sit with the directors, the writers, the producers come through, and we don't do just one cut of a piece. We do a million cuts of all scenes, of all jokes, taking things out, putting new things back in, rearranging things, just finding as much humor as possible, and also making sure it's tight and within the time frame we need it to be. And then dress is at 8:30, so we do our first delivery to the control room. You know, if you're in the middle of the episode, you're still editing while the show is airing, and you're seeing the sketch before mine is up, I better hit export because it's got to get to the control room. And then we get all that dress feedback with that live audience, which is invaluable to know what is working and what isn't and where you can do pull-ups. And then dress to air, everybody convenes again, and we do a whole another pass, sometimes multiple, to get it ready for prime time. And then, yeah, I mean, you're making it by 2 minutes sometimes before the world sees it. It is lightning fast.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it is. It's wild. It's so much fun. You get, I mean, like you. you do like the world's craziest 48-hour shootout, and then you hit export on all of that adrenaline, and then you have immediate feedback. You can go on Twitter and scroll and be like, "Oh my God, millions of people just watch what I spent the whole two days working on." Yeah.
Even the pre-recorded stuff still live. I mean, is the nature of that schedule just like because the celebrities or whoever is going to be on it, just so that they're like they only come in on Friday, so you have to shoot then? Or like, why don't they do it farther out?
Yeah, it's a mix of scheduling with talent, and also just a mix of like, I mean, you know, the script's being picked on Wednesday. The production team needs time to get stuff together, build sets, get costumes together. I mean, they're also working at top-notch speed just to get everything together for Friday. I mean, to give you a sense, occasionally something will shoot on a Thursday, but that will tend to be like a PDD, a Please Don't Destroy sketch that takes place in their office, or maybe a mostly green screen based sketch where you really just have to kind of worry about wardrobe and stuff like that, things that are a lot easier to kind of get off the ground in less than 24 hours. So, you know, it's also to give the production teams time to do what they need to do to get stuff going by Friday.
Yeah, the first half of the week is really set up. I mean, more than it's being a live show, it's a show made in a week.
Yeah.
And the first half of the week is generally reserved for the writing and for the scripts to go through the process. And then Wednesday, everybody gets the marching orders. And, you know, the host will be there all week, and the host will also be, you know, rehearsing the live sketches and everything. But like Ryan said, you got to give the set team time to build those walls and paint them. And you got to give the lighting team time to light it. And then really Friday is game time.
The scheduling is really impressive, though, just with, you know, shooting three pieces sometimes in one day, when the host is going to be there, how long we'll get the host in our piece. It's such a balance of everyone's time that it's such a feat that they pull off every week. It's incredible.
Sometimes they'll save a scene. This is pretty rare, but sometimes they'll save some shoots for Saturday. So it'll be like, we can only get all this on Friday, and then Saturday we're going to be getting this whole section that you need, but you don't have yet until, you know, early afternoon or so.
That only happened to us once this season.
Yeah. Or a voiceover. You know, you're waiting on somebody to get in the booth all day because they're in 8H, you know, rehearsing live stuff as they should be. And then they can only get in the booth like 7 p.m. before dress. So you're just using your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So for the common editor, that's already, you know, so crazy of a timeline, you know, workflow and all that. For you guys, what are the moments that you're like, oh, this is nuts? Like, what am I doing here? Like, are there any moments that you guys are just like, okay, now I'm being pushed to like just the craziest?
I would say the craziest it can get sometimes is we're working all day. So Paul mentioned, you know, we have a dress rehearsal at 8 p.m. We're working all day on a piece, trying to get it ready for the dress rehearsal at 8 p.m. And like sometimes, like anything creatively, you get so close to it, you kind of like lose sight of what's working, and you can kind of trick yourself into thinking things are working great. And then you show it to the dress audience and it doesn't get the reception you're expecting. And then between dress and air, you're trying to figure out how do we make this work? Like, what do we got to change here to make these jokes land? Is it, do we got to cut these jokes? Do we got to do something else to make them funnier, to make it more clear? Things like that. That I think can be,
that can be the music, tone change, like, a lot of different notes in between.
So that can be the trickiest part, but that's usually rare. Usually we have a good sense, and, you know, there are other people, there are producers and stuff coming in, seeing it throughout the day, who have a little more distance from it, who can kind of be a little bit more of that audience surrogate and give us feedback that we may not have been considering. But every once in a while, it happens. I mean, the show famously will go to dress rehearsal with more sketches than we can ever fit into a live show. Sometimes things just don't play very well. So, you know, we want to try to see if we can fix it with a pre-tape if it doesn't work, and try to figure out something different. So then that's happening in the span of like 2 hours tops trying to make some of those changes. So
yeah, there's definitely something to be said for you know, raising the bar and delivering every week, and then you got to do it again and again, and the writers learn that you can do something, and then it's the expectation. And I think some of the times where it really gets down to the wire are these Ryan gets a lot of these, but these VFX, massive VFX heavy pieces where you have just an army of like the best VFX people on the planet delivering you multiple shots, multiple things. You're cutting sections and saying, sorry, all these shots are gone, gotta do a new one. So just sometimes where it really gets hectic is just tracking all of the other people that are not in the room with you and making sure everything gets to you in time. Other times, yeah, like when you have to change the music or rescoring and you're just surfing through library after library to find the right tone that really brings the piece together. Or, you know, as simple as the computer crashing, because we are editing not on proxies, we're editing 4K multicam, hours and hours and hours and hours of footage in these computers in the Mac studios currently. And, you know, they work really, really well, but sometimes we just ask a little too much of them and it can lock up. And that's where it really goes. You lose control and you just, you know, what am I doing here? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah, because we're keeping track of all the VFX and doing color conform all in Premiere. So that is a lot for Premiere to handle. And sometimes it simply cannot. And we, you know, we're either on another computer real quick, right back where we started. We have our autosave on like every minute. So there's always a way.
There's enough machines to run around to sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a skill we have, is getting on a machine with our keyboard as quick as possible. All of our settings you can get on in 30 seconds.
It reminds me of like the pit stop, like in a, like a NASCAR race or something. Like how fast can you get in?
It feels like that.
Very similar.
You're sitting at a desk, but it really feels like you are a race car driver sometimes. I think that all the time. That's so true.
Yeah, we all have standing desks. So, you know, when we're all using the stand up version of our desk, that it's stress time.
Do you guys have any gear that helps you with your pit stop? Like, do you have a mouse and keyboard that you like have to edit with? Otherwise, it's going to be slow.
Yeah, I like to, I have like a Logitech, MX Master 3 mouse, which I like to use more than like, by default, we just kind of have Apple mice at the office. So I like to bring this in just so it's easier to hold all day and I find a little more accurate. And I've been using a loop deck a little more often too, with the knobs and stuff like that and some pre-programmed keys just to make things a little faster and make things a little more tactile and organic. I think over time you kind of find what works for you and make some adjustments.
Some people hate these things, but I love them. The Wacom is essential. I also am a fan of as many screens as possible. So I even bring in like portable Asus screens that I will add to the edit station just to give me even one more screen to look at. Oftentimes I'll just throw the notes, because we love to do a live notes document. We'll all hop into a Google Doc so we can all just be typing together and passing time codes back and forth, passing notes back and forth. But you know, generally a 3 or 4 screen setup, you're already using your timeline, your project, your transmit. So popping another screen in there just so you can see the notes constantly is something that I find invaluable.
Yeah, and I keep it simple just in case I have to switch computers. So I'm all Apple mouse, 2 screens, good to go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Lean and mean.
Seltzer water. Yeah.
And lots of seltzer.
Yeah, seltzer is the accessory that gets it all done.
Like, it's what keeps us going on Saturdays.
Oh, I love it. Same. I'm there with you. So I would love to hear, Christy and Paul, just walk us through what it was like working on Bowen Strait.
Sure, yeah. You know, it was shot in the office. Everyone loves a 30 Rock setting when the whole cast gets to just be in the office. It's kind of a behind the scenes. And that was, you know, that was a daytime shoot on a Friday. So we got footage back pretty quickly. And for this one specifically, we build out a line by line, which is a string out in Premiere of every line from the script and each take of that line under the mark, under each marker. So especially when it's like so dialogue heavy, we can watch down each take back to back. So if someone says what?
How many takes are they doing typically?
Usually not too many. I'd say, you know, between like 3 and 5 normally. Sometimes you'll get as many as 10 if it's a line that was giving someone trouble. But sometimes they'll shoot line by line anyway. So they'll do the line over and over until they get one that they like. But sometimes they'll shoot a big chunk of the script at once. And that's hard to watch through and pick what you're looking for. So we chop it up in Premiere so we can just watch each line. And the coverage. So if there's coverage that we're going to need for that line, we add that under the line by line too. And it's almost like a full edit with all of the footage we have. So I usually build that out during a Friday while everything's being organized, and then try to start a rough cut to get to Paul when he comes in to start the edit, get everything going. And for this one, I don't know. Paul, do you want to?
Yeah, like you said, this is one of the In the Office pieces, which everybody just loves those. We love those. It's really great. But like something fun about that is we're like sitting in our edit bay, and then you just open the door to the hallway, and that's where the entire camera crew is, and host and talent and everybody. And you can just stand there and watch the monitor and see what's happening and then shut the door. Or you can not know they're doing that, and you can walk out in the hallway sometimes and just totally bone a take because you're just in the background all of a sudden. This one was, we were blessed with some time because I think they wrapped around 7 or 8 p.m. on a Friday, which is nice and cozy. And then,
they were shooting mostly in the writer's room and the writer's offices, which is directly across from where we edit.
Yeah.
So getting that footage was very quick.
Yeah, which, and again, a show that it's like, if you can shave seconds off any sort of process, that is valuable time. But then, Saturday for this piece, you know, we work with Gary Richardson, Will Stevens, August White, and Bowen, who were the writers of it. So they sit with us, and all those people are absolutely amazing. Bowen's wonderful to work with. You know, the piece was working pretty early, so we had so much fun just honing it in more, you know, on really the line by line is for Saturday when somebody's there in the room and they only have an hour to be up because they got to run down to monitor a floor sketch, and they go, I like this, but, you know, show me all the takes of this line. And so you just click into that line by line and hit play, and it's hello, hello, hello. You get to see them all very quick and shave as many seconds off the finding a take process as possible. And just start swapping and playing. Really, it's playing. Like, you're having a great time. It's highly collaborative. Everybody's in the room just building the most fun version of the piece. That's also short.
Yeah, and we work so closely with our director, Tim. And we're constantly in contact with him while he's on set. And then the day of the, on a Saturday, you know, he watches down the piece first before the writers come in usually. We do his notes as quick as possible, and then the writers are usually there giving us notes. And we mostly do live notes, so it's not really write something down, get back to it. It's like, oh, that's a note, hit it right now.
Totally. Tracking a lot of opinions at once, finding a happy medium, and just doing all the versions you can to see what works best.
What was like the most challenging scene or moment in that piece?
I think the intro, the very first one, when they're in the writer's room and Bowen is talking to Castillo and everybody, there's just something about, you know, when you have one side of the room and the other side and they're not really interacting, but you have to make it seem organic. And there's just a little bit at play in that scene. And that's also where the first moment where they notice each other and they have the first interaction, which has to land, that sets up the whole thing. So I think finding the happy medium that brings everybody in didn't seem too like, we didn't want to make Bowen seem too disgusting and manly and over the top in the beginning. So it was finding the right warm tone to really set up the whole piece. And then once you do that, that one specifically, it all just like lands and locks in perfectly.
Yeah, I was really hitting that tone in the beginning, that was crucial of their back and forth.
Yeah.
Ryan, I'm curious how the process was for the I'm Just Pete sketch coming off of Barbie.
Yeah, I mean, so that was the first episode for us for last season. And funny thing about that one was I came back from doing some work in LA, like on a red eye before starting to cut that one. So I came into it a little hot, and you know, it actually for us, I think, was a pretty on rails edit compared to most. I mean, it's luckily being a music video, there's only so much that you can change timing wise as you're going throughout the day. I mean, we do sometimes change the timing of music videos, take out verses, take out, you know, or add verses, things like that, or add little bits of time here and there. With this one being such a clear parody, it came together. The first cut, I think, came together pretty seamlessly. When I cut music videos, I tend to like to try to focus on the comedy visual beats of it first before I get into any of the, like, dancing or anything like that. So, you know, I kind of just back burner a lot of the dancing and performance stuff until I have all the jokes in place. And the nice thing that we've been doing a lot recently too is we've been working with choreographers a lot more recently on some of these videos, so we're getting really great dance moments that sync to the lyrics of the song. So there are, you know, a lot of joke moments that could be buying from that as well. And then Saturday for this one, I think it was, again, pretty smooth. The beat where we see some of the comedians, like with Netflix specials and stuff, like that was something that was kind of like cooked up during the day, that as a visual joke. We didn't really know what we were going to do there visually, but we had captured a TV with a green screen plate on it, so we could figure something out there. So that came together during the day. Another thing that kind of came together during the day was we had already designed, the director Mike Diva had already designed the shot of Pete going from the therapy scene into that, like, dance on sort of like the blue scape as sort of a match cut. And we thought, I don't know who had the idea, it probably was him who had the idea first, but this idea of, like, oh, he's got a jacket on in a therapy scene, what if that jacket rips off and, you know, then he's got the full black, like, t-shirt and stuff like that underneath it. And, you know, they didn't shoot the jacket ripping off on set, so our VFX team essentially made a fully CGI jacket that gets ripped off and created a bit of a morph cut from one shot to the next. So it creates this really cool, seamless transition from one scene to the next. So we kind of roughed that in as much as we could in Premiere, and then they took it from there and did a stellar job with it. And then, you know, we're constantly updating the track as we go through the day as well, because just like everything else on the show, it's like everything has a limited amount of time. Everyone's trying to do as much as they can with the time that we have. So we have a great producer that we use sometimes. His name is JP, and he was producing this track and sending us updates, just really making it sound fantastic and adding. He has a lot of great little, like, sound design elements. So, like, I don't go too crazy on music videos with sound design because I don't want to step on the work that they're doing. And he adds a lot of just really nice reverb and swells and things like that. And a lot of that ends up being based on my edit as well. We'll send him cuts throughout the day so he can kind of see what's going on and see, like, oh, it'd be really cool if, you know, we had a little bit of, like, a swell or, like, a ta-ta-ta-ta here or something like that. So that's part of the fun collaborative element of this too, is you know, seeing what other people can add to it based on what you've already been doing with your edit. And then the car shot at the end is like fully CGI and stuff. So we had to kind of, like, similar to the helicopter shot in Bow and Stray, we had to kind of just, like, imagine that during the day. And we got, I think, a rough previs of that. And then, you know, they deliver, you know, shortly before air, like, a great looking, realistic looking shot of that car crashing into the Barbie house. So
Yeah, there's so much VFX in that piece. And I was just like, how is it possible for this to get turned around? They've got to be getting the plates Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, we do, with VFX heavy stuff, we do start sending them shots that are going to be used for VFX on Friday night so they can start getting a head start on some of that stuff. Or, you know, Mike on a VFX heavy piece will come in on Friday after the shoot. And we'll focus on those VFX beats so we can try to lock a couple of takes in so they can start their work and we don't have to worry about like, oh, this, you know, we have to switch takes now and stuff like that. So, and he's great. He's great with VFX stuff. So he knows really kind of what to focus on and what to prioritize. So yeah, we will go through and try to get them as much stuff approved as we can on Friday night. So they can start working on a Friday, and then on Saturday when they start in earnest, they can focus on just hitting the ground running and not have to wait around for us to make approvals on stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, our workflow is sometimes a little different than yours, Ryan. It's kind of interesting in that, you know, you'll have Mike come in and approve stuff Friday. In general, we don't necessarily approve any sort of plates till like 11 a.m. or noon on Saturday. So our team will, you know, for like the helicopter, which is obviously, we didn't get a helicopter for Bowen Strait at the end, but they can start building that asset and start basically rendering it out. And I mean, look at that again. Sometimes the pilot in that helicopter is moving, like they did an amazing job, but they won't have that shot until Saturday to start comping in. And then we won't have that shot in our edit till, you know, a rough slightly before dress, and then, you know, a final for air almost always. But yeah, we definitely try in the big VFX pieces to isolate the VFX moments first and say, let's work on these, let's get notes on these and the timing down and the takes we like, so we can send to those hardworking VFX people to start on that, because that's going to, you know, bring the whole thing home. You can't be airing something with a bunch of green screens in it or blank TVs or, you know, tracking markers.
Yeah. So do you guys ever collaborate across like the teams, or is it like Ryan's in his own world and you guys are in your own?
We like to share cuts with each other like late on Friday night. And that's usually a big help for us, because I think by that point, mostly we've had our heads in the edit for, you know, 12 hours or something like that, just focused on it. And we might be so focused on one part of it or one beat or one element that we've completely, you know, haven't really had much of a chance to step back from it and look at other parts of it. So that's always good to share our cuts with each other, because we can spot things or, you know, give ideas and stuff like that on Friday night. That's kind of the most, I think, collaborative we typically tend to get, unless every once in a while. So we have three units every once in a while. We'll go into production with only two units shooting in a particular week. And if it's a big piece, like for me, last season, we had the Mario Kart piece. Another one of our editors, Chris Salerno, helped out on that one and helped cut some stuff for that. And we'll collaborate in ways like that. But usually we're kind of siloed off on Saturday and focused on our own edits.
Yeah, some of the best times are at 2 a.m. on a Friday when there is nobody else in the building but us just churning away, and we'll crack a beer and invite each other into each other's edits and say, watch this, is it working? What do you think? Where can we change things? You know, and the collaboration before the big collaboration is sometimes where it's just fun to hang out in a lower consequence way of just, you know, saying, what if you did this? What if you did that? I love what you did here. Or did you think about this? And yeah, Christy, I think ours is the biggest collaboration we've had is when Dave McCary and Julio Torres came back this season for Papyrus 2. Our unit, Beast Unit, and Chris Salerno's unit, Ghost Unit, combined. And we basically all threw down on that edit. Cool. That was, yeah.
Yeah, there's four or five editors at one time working on an 8-minute piece. So it was pretty wild. And our edit room is down the hall from Ryan's, but we're right next door to Chris's. So we'd just be walking in and out.
through the door.
Yeah, that piece
all day.
Yeah, that piece was on like 4 computers up until like 6 p.m. So it was like, you want to see the whole thing? All right, start over here, hit play, watch 3 minutes. All right, now run to that computer.
But know? Now when we break up an edit like that, we call it papyrusing. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to papyrus this one. Yeah. All right, you on that computer, yeah. Us on this computer, let's go.
That is awesome. Overall, I feel like comedy editing is not an easy thing. Well, I'm curious to hear from each of you guys what like an important strategy or like edit trick that you guys have picked up or try to employ when you're editing comedy.
We use a lot of sound design on SNL. Our pieces obviously are typically pretty short, 3 minutes, roughly around there. And sketches typically in general as a comedy format are short and punchy. So we use a lot of sound design to try to emphasize moments where there's jokes and stuff. We'll have music drop out, or we'll have like some kind of hit or suck back or some kind of diegetic sound effect to emphasize a joke. Not necessarily to make it any funnier, but just to kind of help lead the audience and point them in the right direction and like, you know, remind them like this is where you laugh and stuff like that. Because we don't have the time to kind of like let something kind of like sit, you know, most of the time. And, you know, again, like timing also is important. And, you know, we do various different kinds of timing related elements with our pieces. I mean, I did the Anomalous Man this season, which was kind of that Elephant Man parody with Sarah wearing a lot of prosthetics and stuff. And like, we sit in that sketch for 3 or 4 full minutes almost before we get to a joke. But that was the point. It was like trying to like really build it up and really kind of like lead the audience thinking like, where is this going to go? Where is this going to go? And then when it hits big because, you know, people aren't expecting that. Or, you know, I mean, Paul can speak more to this than I can. PDD stuff is very, very quick and a completely different pace than something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the nice things about the show in general is that we're not doing necessarily one style of comedy all the time. That the show is drawing from or parodying lots of different genres, lots of different things, commercials, reality TV, serious dramas.
It is a little bit of everything.
So you get to learn from all sorts of styles or do research that week or that Thursday before of watching what the references are. What other edit tricks in that genre are. So when you bring that into the comedy piece, it feels like the style you're going for, even though you're obviously skewing that towards comedy, but you get to really flex the muscles of let's make a serious drama for 4 minutes, or let's do a commercial parody, or yeah, like the Please Don't Destroy Things. Let's invent something totally new and find where the humor is. I think, personally, one of the things about editing at SNL and that's important for this comedy is envisioning the length ahead of time, you know, reading a script and knowing how long you can sit with it and how long it's going to be. And the show definitely is not necessarily the 1-page, 1-minute rule. It's absolutely like knowing how long to live in a joke or how to air it out or where to punctuate with sound design to bring the audience in, because, you know, we are doing a broad comedy show that has to hit on a wide spectrum of viewers. So making it understandable and funny for a wider audience is sometimes trickier than just making yourself laugh. So understanding the balance between that is very important.
Yeah, and there are certain things that when you're there long enough, like, you know, you can always go to is like a solid joke. Like, I think we all love having Keenan in our pieces. Like, yeah. A Keenan reaction shot is always a slam dunk. Like, always, you're always going to get a laugh off of that. You know, so there are certain little things where just like you learn what performers are good at too. And you're like, even if it wasn't in the script, you're like, I'm going to find a little spot here so we can cut over to Keenan having a reaction to it. And it kills and it stays in the piece.
Yeah, and I know Christy can speak to this, but yeah, finding the right music is so important to make something funny and get the tone.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of Saturday is spent digging through all of the sites for music that'll work in a piece, just because hitting that tone is crucial. And, you know, you really need the right music track. And a track that we like won't necessarily be one that our director likes or that the writers like. So it is a writer's show. So we go by what they say. And they'll throw out some ideas for music and I'm back to APM searching.
Yeah. Or very often we'll, you know, be calling down the hall to our music director and say, yeah, we need you to make something whole cloth in an hour. A bit of time, you know, you have a half a day to give me a whole new score, custom score for this piece or this this section, or, you know.
Yeah,
or,
could you make a sound alike to this song?
10 seconds a song we got to drop in. It happens all the time. I mean, a lot of that stuff is custom.
I was thinking about how crazy the composer for the I'm Just Pete sketch had to, the timeline that they had to work under, I'm sure it was just insane.
Yeah, I mean, that is something too that sort of gets started earlier in the week. For a lot of our music videos in this one, we have a writer named Dan Bala who's great at writing music videos, and he's a musician himself, so he knows how to write for something that's going to sound great. And he'll write it, and I think with music videos typically he's already starting that conversation with the producer who's gonna, you know, make the track earlier in the week, and you know they'll have a rough version, and sometimes when they shoot I'll get an early version of the track where I know it's Dan doing all the vocals, it's not, you know, Pete or someone else, it's the writer doing the vocals, and they'll get that stuff. So like they're starting to piece it together, and they're kind of like piecing it together in parallel as we're working on the edit. But usually with music videos they'll have some version of the track that they could shoot with because they want to sync to that version of the track on set, and then also give it to us so that, you know, we can sync with it in the edit. But yeah, I mean, he's working and sending us stuff as we're going along, and so I'm trying to update and replace the track as we're going. But I also, for music videos, I have to kind of keep the original version in there because the way that we sync it, it's like we sunk to the version that they used on set. So if I need to go back and look at takes, I'm matching back with that original version. So and it's also a reference for where we've made cuts or added stuff. So yeah, it's an ongoing process for sure, always every week with you know the producers and the composers as well. So
wow. Well, I could like talk about this stuff for hours. I do want to kind of you know get to the end here with some rapid fire questions just to respect your guys' time. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Sweet. So I'm kind of curious, what would be like the biggest thing you feel like you've learned from having worked on SNL?
Make decisions and just, you know, keep working, and you can always change stuff, but you know, don't spend too long trying to figure out what you're going to do. Just do it and then see how it goes. And if it goes great, great. If it doesn't, you can tweak it.
Yeah. Think fast and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust your gut and trust your team. You know, you're surrounded by the best people. And you have resources, you're not doing it alone. So, refer to your team, and also, you know, you're there for a reason. So trust your own instincts is important to remember sometimes.
What advice would you guys give to editors that are looking to break into the industry at this level?
I think connections are important. You know, I think like just try to meet as many people as you can and say yes to as many projects as you can. And you know, one day the person who you did a short film for might be doing something bigger, or might refer you to another friend who's doing something bigger. You know, cause I got into SNL cause I interned there my senior year because I met someone at college who had interned there and just told me the right people to send emails to, really. So, and that's how it all started for me, really.
Yeah. I meet people and take classes. I took a UCB improv class, which really opened my mind to a bunch of comedy stuff. And I met a lot of people through that too.
Yeah, I would say leave the ego at the door and be a collaborative person. You know, it's video production. It takes a million people. It really does take a village. And so just being somebody that other people like to work with, or just like having fun in the workplace, and, you know, owning that collaboration and not, you know, attributing everything to yourself or being, you know, mean and demanding, it really You're going to be called back for jobs if people like working with you more than you're the most talented guy ever, honestly.
Yeah, that's good. What's kind of the dream for each of you guys? Like in 10, 20 years, where would you want to end up?
I just love editing. And then, you know, more editing projects, long form, TV, film. I've been doing a lot more commercial stuff recently, which I've been enjoying. Really just still cutting and cutting things that I'm enjoying. I mean, I'm open to all kinds of different kinds of work because as an editor, as someone who primarily focuses on editing, it's nice to kind of like shift gears from time to time. Like I'm working on a relatively serious doc project right now and it stretches different muscles. So it's nice to do different kinds of cutting and stuff.
Yeah, I would say anything that keeps me creative. Like I love editing because it's a creative job as well as much as it is a technical job. And, you know, I paint and I do a lot of things on the side. So anything that I can just keep being creative every day and flex that muscle is where I want to go and keep doing.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of an anomaly because I generally outside of the show, I do a lot more production and set stuff. And I'll edit my own stuff, but ideally, developing and creating and shooting, you know, and if I edit that stuff too, that's great. But yeah, just if, like Christy said, as long as you keep creating and keep flexing that muscle, that's really where it's at.
That's awesome. All right. And then last thing, what's your guys' favorite SNL sketch?
One we worked on or what, just in general?
Anything.
I don't know. I mean, like for me, I think when I was in high school, Dick in the Box was like the funniest thing. And like, I got in trouble for watching it at school once. So I don't know. I think the early Lonely Island stuff is some of the best. I think that might be one of my favorites.
Yeah. Lonely Island. I mean, Lazy Sunday is what made me want to go into making things, making videos with my friends. So either Lazy Sunday or just like, God, I loved just anything with it. Andy Samberg in the beginning. Favorite.
Oh man, I was a huge fan and I still am of a Hurley Boy with Adam Sandler. I think the simplicity behind that is just amazing. I love the camera direction on that. Just zooming out one camera, punching it in. But recently I became aware of the Francis Ford Coppola episode and everything in that episode is gold. I love a lot of stuff in that.
Ooh,
one.
I'm going to have to
it's like
check
season
that out.
10.
Yeah,
yeah. It's on Peacock.
It's meta and it's really awesome.
Wild.
Okay. That's awesome. That's a good recommendation. Adding that to the list. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You can really tell that you guys do make decisions fast and collaborate really well together. Just even in how you communicate on this podcast. It's cool that to see how tight you guys really are and talented that you guys are. So thanks so much for coming on here, and we're excited to keep watching more of your guys' stuff this next season.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.